040 Little Flock by Dharma, 27th of May 2012.
Praise God. I'm going to read Psalm 34. There's a lot of encouragement in this psalm. Hallelujah. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Well, that's what we're going to do this afternoon, exalt his name together. It says, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. You know, if you seek the Lord, he'll answer you, and he'll deliver you from your fears. Our worst enemies are fears. They looked on him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. You think there's no answer to your troubles? Well, the Lord says he can save you out of all your troubles. Now, this verse 7 is interesting. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Now, you've got an angel encamping round about you. The word of God's telling you. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The world misses such a wonderful opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good. The right off a thing before they even tasted. You know, I tasted beetroot before I found out I didn't like it. But so often, people don't even taste God. And they said they don't like him. Weird, weird. But it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. You will never be in want of any good thing. And be assured that God knows exactly what you need and what is good for you. Hallelujah. Come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We sometimes forget about that one, you know. Seek peace. That's something we've positively to do. You don't sit back and let it happen. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. And that's three times that it said that you cry to the Lord and he'll heal you and he'll deliver you. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saved those who are crushed in spirit. You know, as people, sometimes we can stand on those that are crushed in spirit. We can be cruel to those that are broken hearted and crushed. But that's not what God says. The Lord is near to the broken hearted, so we should be near to the broken hearted. And he says he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Did you know the word of God was telling you that many are the afflictions of the righteous? You don't sail through life without afflictions. I don't just think health problems when you say afflictions. Things that come against you. It says many are the afflictions. Yeah, it says the rain falls on both the righteous and the unrighteous. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Your answer, my answer, is the Lord out of every situation. And this is a prophecy about the Lord. Slotted in here, he says he keeps all his bones and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a wonderful Saviour that looks at every angle that's conceivable. And he says, I've got it covered. He says, I've got your safety in mind. He says, I've got you in the palm of my hand. And all he wants us to do is to come to him. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Back home in Africa, it's not every single church that has musical equipment. And it's really good to have musical equipment. But those churches that lack in musical equipment, they praise the Lord using their own hand. And personally, sometimes I find it really good because it's caused me to participate, to be an actor, rather than waiting to hear that melody and be moved by the melody of the keyboard or the guitar. When that guitar and that piano is not there, I use my own hand. While they are not sounding the same beautifully as musical instrument, but worship, it's all about how my heart is connecting to the Lord. One of the songs that we sang says that there is joy and peace when we release worship to the Lord. Powerful. Powerful. So whether we are releasing that worship with the aid of musical equipment or with our own hands, we have to make sure that we are indeed releasing worship to the Lord. And that's when you see someone full of problems start just releasing worship and crying before the Lord, pouring their heart before the Lord like someone pouring water on the floor, worshiping the Lord, connecting with the Creator. And before the person leaves that presence, peace and joy have to take place. Because there was a supernatural connection with the one who knows all our fears, our troubles, as Psalm 34 told us, the one who is able to give us peace, where the world is unable to produce that peace for us. Where billions of pounds are unable to give us that kind of peace. Where material things are unable to give us that peace. But in the presence of the Lord, releasing that worship, it's beautiful. And that's how you see, whenever you have troubles, the enemy will do all he can to stop you releasing the worship. He can push you to feel mad at the Lord, though he's the one who will give you peace and sort all your troubles, all your problems. But the enemy will tell you, no, this has not to be like this. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. He knows every single detail of our life. Blessed be his holy name. Today is a very significant day in the Christian community. Many people are drawing near the throne of the Lord. For some, they remember the journey that they had from where they were lost in the sins and how the Lord came to them, how he gave them the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit convinced them in regard to sin, in regard to the love of God, to the justification that is found in the Lord. And for all that, today, prayers of gratitude went before the throne of the Lord. We didn't just become Christians. No. Something was done by the Lord himself. He took the initiative and he found us where we were lost, in our sins. He found us there. No matter how ugly our sin were, but he came to us. He forgave all our sins and he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that can testify to our spirit that we belong to the Lord. We are not orphans. We have a Father. A Father who loves us indeed. As I was talking to my bishop before he traveled, say, you have to be there on Sunday. I'm going to preach. It's Pentecost. And I'll take the opportunity to manipulate your mind and cause your pockets to give me money. So we had a good laugh. Yes, of course, today, in some places, children of God are being manipulated as well. Because it's Pentecost there, then you have to give a very monetary special offering. Nothing to do with worship, praising the Lord, pouring your heart before him and tell him how grateful you are, but put your hand in your pocket, pull money out, and a very special blessing will follow your seed. I wonder what goes on in the heart of the Lord when he sees things like this happening. In a day, supposedly a special day for children of God to have peace, to have rest, to relax in the presence of the Lord. But put yourself in the shoes of a person who, even to get to church, had difficulties for transport. He didn't have even £1 to afford the bus. But somehow he managed to get to church. And then here I am, putting a heavy burden on this child of God's shoulders, making him to feel guilty because he doesn't have money to give in this very special day where we have to give an offering, a special offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. What does it have to be always money, money, money? Well, we need money to function. But we don't have to mix things and cause children of God to feel guilty in God's presence. because they don't have the money that we want them to pull out of their bank account, of the pocket and stuff. May the Lord help all those who are involved in manipulating children of God like this. Some of them have really served the Lord, but along the way, something happened terrible. They went astray. They need our prayers. If our prayers can bring them back on the track, then all those who are following them will be spared from the manipulations that they are enduring for the moment. We're going to do our reading in Luke chapter 12. The message today will not be entitled Pentecost, but Little Flock. Our reading will start from 22 and we'll go down to 34. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that doesn't not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where is our treasure? Here on earth or elsewhere? I don't want in this message go through theological discussion, trying to locate the kingdom of God, where we're going to spend eternity. Either it will be here on earth or it will be in heaven. I think that debate is not really relevant. I want to draw our attention to what matters. the kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish. That kingdom was not a kingdom to be established here on earth for us to spend eternity here, or to take us to heaven and forget everything about the earth. It was the kingdom of the heart. He came to establish that kingdom in our heart. Once we get that kingdom is established in our heart, then we can walk with the Lord and enjoy the Lord throughout the years that we have to live here on earth. My prayer is that the Lord help us all. Because it's easy sometimes to be caught into religiosity and we forget to pay attention to the work that has to be done in the building of the kingdom of God in our heart. And that's where we see that the enemy finds a door which is open. He enters into that door and messes up our lives. He's the master who knows how to create fear in our lives. He will bring fear. When our attention is no longer focusing on that kingdom Jesus brought to us. This text is talking about not worrying. We belong to the Lord. He is our Father. And in this verse 32, I read it again. Do not fear, little flock. The idea behind this simple word, flock, is projecting a shepherd who has responsibility over his flock. And here I love the way it's put, little ones. So the shepherd will pay even more attention, because he knows that he has that responsibility over the safety. He has responsibility over the security. He has to be there to protect them, to make sure that they are safe. The way the Holy Spirit moves, it's beautiful. Psalm 34 said everything, touched every single example that I can give to you today. Things that can cause fear to invade our lives. We have a shepherd. He didn't only give us the Holy Spirit, no, but he is constantly there to make sure that we are safe. Even when our bodies are unable to support pain that illness is bringing to us. When the society is putting pressure on our mind, having set a certain standard, and as children of God, we forget that we belong to the kingdom of God. We have to find out what is the standard of the kingdom of God and seek after that standard of the kingdom of God. Rather, like Mr. and Mrs. Everybody of this world, we seek after that standard the world has set before us. And most of the time, it's difficult to live up to that standard. And that's where fear, worry, anxiety take place. Those who are not mature enough in the Lord, they end up questioning, where is God? But when you go deep in the details, you're going to find out that the question in reality is not about the kingdom of God, but is about this world, things of this world. He is a good shepherd. He does protect his flock. And here we have this assurance that we don't have to be in fear at all. He is there for us to protect, to keep us safe. And that's where some say that many are troubles of the righteous. But the promise, or that word continue, that the Lord, he makes sure that they are delivered from all those troubles. Time belongs to him. He knows when he's going to put an end to a certain trouble you might be going through. Take heart. Don't be discouraged. You know, sometimes when we are due to preach, we can pick a message and start asking the Lord, is this in your will for me to deliver this message? Till we get that inner confirmation, then we are so confident to deliver the message. And sometimes we get a message that the Lord gives before we start thinking, what am I going to bring to his people? And this is one of those circumstances where he gives you something to deliver, to give to his people. And when he gave me this, it was nearly my time of waking up to start my morning prayer. And then he gave me this scripture. So I was at peace knowing that there is someone here today that needs to hear this. I wish I knew who it is among all of us, but there is someone. And if in your spirit you connect to this, then take it really seriously. Stop any fear, any worry that you might be undergoing. Trust in the Lord. He has the power to deliver you from all those fears. He has the power. He has the power. I will even recommend you, when you go home, take again that Psalm 34. Read it over and over and over. And the Lord will help you to understand his perfect will in this particular time. When suffering, pain, fears can last long, you might get even to the point of asking yourself, when this is going to stop, to end? But the Lord has a time for each and everyone. And the person that I'm talking to today, this is your day. This is your day. This is your day. When you go home, just create time. Remember, as we sang, there is joy and peace when we release worship to the Lord. Go in that presence and start releasing worship to Him. Thank Him for the troubles that you see in your life. The fears that have taken away your joy. All those anxieties, bring them to Him and tell Him, Lord, here I am. I belong to You. You are my shepherd. You are my Father. You are my Lord. Just take all this. I can't carry them anymore. I can't carry them any longer. I'm tired. And you know it. I'm tired. Take them. Give me your peace. Give me your joy. He will do it. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, I'm going to read it for you. I start from 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. Verse 38. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. I want to underline a mix of multitude. I was watching a program on BBC with Pastor Jolly that all of you know. It was about one of the famous evangelist or pastors in America whose message is based on prosperity. So this was the first time he opened the door to the media to report about what he has been doing for the last 20 years. As I was sitting there with Pastor Jolly watching, I was really, really shocked to see what was going on. He's got one of the largest churches in America. But the kind of message that he is presenting to them is those kind of messages that are attracting the eyes to the things of this world. Just the opposite of what we read in Luke chapter 12. To not to worry about the things of this world, but to seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God. And you see a congregation of 20,000 plus members, but each one's heart is not after the Lord, is after the wealth of this world. And today, when you look around, you're going to realize that it's not just a single church that is doing that. So many churches are following that movement. So many churches are following that movement. I'm a minister of the gospel. To be respected in the community, I have also materially speaking, to rise up to that level of also owning my own private jet. To go and visit my mother in Canada or to go to Africa, I don't know. I have to own mansions. I have to own top gears, cars and stuff. And for you to be blessed by the Lord, you have to sow your money into my life. Because I'm already blessed. So for you to be blessed, you have to sow in me because I'm a fertile ground. You can see I have a private jet, so sow your money in me. This anointing of money, material things, will come unto you. Now, churches that are not choosing to focus their attention on the things of the world, they are seeking the kingdom of God, preaching about the kingdom of God, helping the children of God to draw near to the Lord, not near to the Bank of Scotland of England, then it's difficult to attract the crowd. It's difficult to attract the multitude of people of every species. Because here now it's about a selection. Indeed, slavery finished in Egypt. It was time to leave Egypt and to go to the promised land. But it wasn't only those who had a heart for that promised land, but a multitude of people of every kind of nature. They followed them. They went up with them. You know what happened? They created trouble. They caused even Aaron to take them into a worship that is not given to the Lord, but to idols. Aaron, a man of God, was seduced because of that multitude of people of every species. And that's what we're living today as a reality. With this gospel of prosperity that we are facing, then, as we have chosen to focus on the kingdom of God, we are like in trouble. Talk about money, things will change. We're going to move from here to a bigger space. Because every day people will come for that miracle of a brand new car. That miracle of mortgage free. That miracle of marriage. That miracle of becoming a millionaire. Going back to verse 32 of Luke 12, we have a promise there that do not fear, little flock, because the Lord himself has chosen to give you the kingdom. Now, this is what I want to tell to our church. We are not many. But whenever you come here, do you feel God's presence? Do you connect to the Lord? If your answer is yes, do not fear. The kingdom of the Lord is yours. You don't need a crowd. for you to enjoy God's kingdom in your life. You don't need a multitude of people of every nature for you to enjoy God's presence in your small church. You don't need all that. All you need is the Lord. If you feel the connection with Him here, then stick to Him. He's the master of time and circumstances. Whenever He wants to change things for this church, He will do it. Without even our help, He will do it. He will bring other faithful ones. He will bring them. People that He knows, they will not put buttons into our feet to make us stumble. No. But people who will say, "Sister, let's hold hands and go. Let's hold hands and meet with the Lord. Do not fear. He has chosen to give you the kingdom. He has chosen to give you the kingdom." Now, the challenge is, are we living that kingdom that He has chosen to give to us? Are we living that kingdom? When I received this and I was going through, I remembered one or two things that me and Bishop, our theologies, are not meeting. I do believe that we'll spend eternity in heaven, according to my theology. According to his theology, he believes that when this world will be renewed, we spend eternity here. This is a big problem that can cause me and him to say, "Go your way, and I'll go my way." But both we know that this what so far I believe, and what he believes, but we are so close. Because I can see in him something that is special, the kingdom of God. Whether at the end of everything, we'll be here on earth or in heaven or elsewhere, it doesn't really matter. I don't have to run away from him because on that theological point, we don't see things the same way. We don't have the same reading on that point. That cannot divide us. I'm pro-Israel. He's not pro-Israel. For some people, it's a big issue. The church I was leading in Molby for a time, after my departure, that became a problem that have destroyed the church. Some members are supporting Israel, and the leader, he has his views about Israel, and somewhere the two did not understand each other, and the church is destroyed. You see now, sometimes we waste our time focusing on details that should not even take our attention. We leave the checking that we have to do a daily basis about the kingdom of God in our heart. Because, like it or not, me and Andrew, we belong to that little flock of the Lord. Even though we have some theological views that are not matching, but I believe in my spirit, in my soul, that me and him, we belong to that small flock that is dear to the Lord, to which the Lord has given the kingdom. Now, what I have to do is not to look at those details, but to check how that kingdom of God is prospering in my life, day in, day out. Is that kingdom dying? Or am I making progress every day? Am I able every day to bring praises, to release praises to the Lord for that kingdom to be really, really established in my heart, in my life, and not live a life of a Christian who is always in fear, in agony of anxiety? How am I doing with the kingdom the Lord gave to me? That's the question. How are you doing with that kingdom in your life? Are you closer to the Lord, or you are not closer to the Lord? I said to myself, well, we can celebrate today Pentecost. We can teach what it does mean, how it came about, this and that. But at the end of the day, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives have to help us to understand that kingdom of God that has to be established in our heart. Till we get to the point where we are not living a life for Christians full of fear, full of worries. I'm not saying that problems will not be there. I'm not saying that troubles will not be there. That illness will completely vanish and disappear. That money problems will completely disappear. It's not what I'm saying at all. As long as we are in this world, problems will be there. We'll come across illness, we'll come across money, financial problems, we come across marital problems, all sorts of problems. They will come our way. But we have to protect the kingdom that the Lord has given to us. That kingdom is in our heart. We have to protect it. And make sure that we are always at peace. So a person who's got millions of pounds, when he comes closer to you and he knows your situation, that you don't have money, but he will see peace and joy in you. And he's going to want to know, where did you get that kind of joy and peace? Though you don't have money, he will desire to become like you. You might not have a marriage that your heart is longing for. But if you have that joy and peace, even those who are in marriages, they will seek after the peace and joy that you have. And all that is connected to that kingdom of the heart. Let's stand and pray. As I said in the message, I was given this scripture to bring to you. I don't know really circumstances of your life, but the Lord who gave it to me, he knows who exactly you are, and he wanted you to hear what came out of my mouth. Maybe it was just one word. Hold on to it. Do not fear anymore. The Lord knows your situation. He knows all circumstances of your life. Psalm 34 told us that the solution is there. The Lord will deliver you from all those fears. He will provide to your very need. Continue to trust in Him. Don't stop trusting in Him. Don't stop trusting in Him. Let that kingdom of God in your heart grow. If you want a touch from the Lord, you can come forth, and as a church, we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. He's here to give joy, to give peace. He's here. For every person who's going to come forth, I want the whole church to pour our heart before the Lord. We don't need to know the details, but let us ask the Lord to touch the person and to put an end to any sort of trouble, worries, fears. He is the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, can we gather around our beloved, please? Feel free to pray. Start praying. Stretch your hands on our beloved. Pour your heart. Connect your heart to God's heart for our beloved here. Hallelujah. Pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. Feel free to lay your hands on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Feel free to raise your voice. Feel free to raise your voice and pray. Sometimes it's difficult to live a life of righteousness. Sometimes it's really difficult. Some kind of problems, they come and they crush God's people. They knock them down. Don't know about you. There are some nights that are spent without having sleep at all. Difficult to find any sleep. Let's pray for our beloved. The Lord knows. He knows what is going on in this heart. Father, as a church, we come to you. bringing our beloved sisters to you. You know what goes on in their lives, Lord. You know when we are not there and they are alone in their houses, Lord. You know all sorts of questions that they ask you, oh Lord. You know when they are really against the wall and they ask, Lord, are you seeing what is going on here? Are you aware of what is happening here? Lord, where are you? When are you going to intervene? When are you going to touch and change the situation? When are you going to answer my prayers? When are you going to answer prayers of the saints for this situation to stop? Yes, Lord, you know. When tears are falling down, Father, you see every single tear. When the hearts are really, really paining, oh Lord, you know and you see. It is in this confidence that you know everything and you see everything that we bring them to you. Laying our hands, stretching our hands on them, Father, we believe that you are here. Touch them now, Lord. Touch them now, Lord. Let all the pain be taken away, oh Lord. Let all fear and anxiety be taken away, oh Lord. Bring about, Father, the answer, the solution that they are looking for, oh Lord. Father, your word promised that if two or three gather and in one accord ask you whatsoever, you will indeed give. Father, as a church, we stand as one person and we ask you, oh Lord, to touch our sister and to change the situation. To change the situation. If wise people of this world, if the medicine, if Father, the technology is unable to bring about the solution, we pray, oh Lord, you who are more than able to heal, to change, to transform, to create, create life where life is needed to be created. Let healing take place where there is illness, disability. We pray in Jesus' name and we command anything that the enemy has planted to be uprooted in Jesus' name. We speak life. We speak healing. We speak, oh Lord, victory, victory, in Jesus' name. Victory, in Jesus' name. Let joy and peace take place for you to be enabled to release praises to the Lord.